This morning, we're going to open up the Word of God and hear from God this morning. But first, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning. Lord, we bow before thee this morning. Lord, before we even open up your Word to read your Word, Lord, we know, Lord, I know, beyond any shadow of doubt that, Lord, the message that you have this morning is perfectly and exactly what you want each one of us here to hear this morning from you, Lord. Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love. Lord, thank you for your power. Thank you for the very Spirit of God that can put in the hearts of two men the same message. On this day, this morning, because you love us and you care for us. And Lord, you want to show us how great you are and how much we can trust you and live by faith, have confidence in thee. And so this morning, oh God, please help us to hear the word of God, Lord. Lord, we need you this morning. Lord, we need your presence, and Lord, I'm thankful for your presence this morning. Speak to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. There are many, as we fully well know, there are many different names that are given to us of God in the Bible. And each one of those names is of great importance because every one of those names reveals to us and shows us, and God wants us to see different aspects of his character, different parts of his nature. And each one points specifically to a certain part or a certain attribute, a certain part of the nature and the character and the working of God. For example, if you go to Genesis chapter 14, Genesis chapter 14, how important this name of God is in the Bible, not only in the Bible, but in anybody's life. In Genesis chapter 14, as Abram stands before the king of Sodom, verse 22, and Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. When men or any man would stand before an authority, someone of great importance, for whatever reason, whether it's Abraham or whether it's the men in Daniel's time, or whether it's the Apostle Paul, how important it is to know that when they stand before someone that's of great significance, of great power, of great authority, that there is one greater, and that is God. That he is the Lord, the Most High God. Paul would say, as he stood before the authorities, as he stood before kings, he would speak of God, and he said, before whom I stand. And this name for God is so important. He is the Most High God. There is none like unto our God. Amen? You read that in the book of Isaiah over and over again. Who is like unto our God? But then if you turn to Genesis chapter 17, there's another one as well. And I'm not going to go through all the names of God this morning, but there's another one. Not only is God the Most High God, but here's one of which we are so thankful. I'm so thankful, even as we have seen this morning. In Genesis chapter 17 and verse number 1, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And here we see the name of God points specifically not to the fact that he is the Most High God, but that he is the all-powerful God. Isaiah, Jeremiah, they would say this, there is nothing too hard for God. Boy, that's an important name of God to remember, isn't it? When things are tough, when we think it's beyond repair, when we say that nothing short of a miracle can happen, well, we have a God that is in the miracle business, amen? We have a God that is the Almighty God, and there is nothing too hard for God. Just stop and think about that for a minute in your life. Because we all face things that to us seem too hard. But God says, there's nothing too hard for me. There's nothing too hard. Turn to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. In Genesis chapter 18, and verse number 14. I mean, just think about it. Abraham was facing something that God said he was going to do that we'd all say was impossible, right? We would be with Sarah and we would laugh. Come on, let's be honest. Guy's 99 years old and you're going to tell me he's going to be in the nursery down at L&M having a baby? And you ever seen it happen, Doreen? All right, okay. All right, just checking. But look at Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 14. Verse 13, and the Lord said unto Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Well, come on now, we'd all laugh. Because we'd all think it's impossible. And the Lord said unto Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh? And then verse 14, is anything too hard for me? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And God did it. And you know, we can go throughout the Bible and we can see the name of God, that the name of God is he is the Almighty God. And we can see evidence of that throughout Scripture. We can see the evidence and the testimony in our own lives that God is Almighty. And so he is the Most High God. He is the Almighty God. In fact, there's one more. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40 and how important this one is as well. Isaiah 40, because it might be that someone would say, well, he's the Most High God. He's the Almighty God. He's the All-Powerful. There's nothing too hard for him. But Pastor, that was all in the Bible. That's the Old Testament. That's thousands of years ago. We're living in 2021. Things are different here. Things are different here. Yeah, things are different, but God is not different. God is the same because of this one right here. In Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Not Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Excuse me. Well, yes, Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. And here it is, he is the everlasting God, the eternal God. In other words, the same God that was back then in Genesis is the same God today. And it says this, he doesn't faint, he's not weary, he hasn't lost his power, he is eternal. So he is the Most High God, he is the Almighty God, he is the eternal God. But this morning I want to bring our attention to a name for God that is so important. A name of God that, it's one other name for God that without this name that we're going to look at this morning, how important would these other ones be? I mean, we read that God is the Most High God. We read that God is all powerful. We read that God is eternal and all the other names of God. But this is my life. My problems, my circumstances, right? Come on now. If the God that is written of in the Bible, if the things that I know of God in the Bible can't be applied to my personal life, then of what value is it? It's of no value of all. If I can't take what I read of in this book right here and say it works here, then put it on a shelf. But I tell you this morning, the things that we read in here, as they're good for Abraham, as they're good for Isaac, as they're good for Jacob, as they were good for every person in the Bible, they are just as good for you and me in 2021. People today are living in despair. And one of the reasons people are living in despair is because they don't connect what they know of God with their life. There's somehow a disconnect. The circuit is broken, if you will. And this name that we're going to look at this morning brings it all together. It brings the Most High God, the most powerful God, the eternal God, the faithful God, the God that is true and righteous all together, the God whose ways are perfect. It brings all of them together to your life this morning in 2021. And so in 15 minutes from now, I'm going to take a break. In 15 minutes, I'll come back and tell you what name it is. No. I'm going to tell you right now. What name is so important? What name is so important that if this name isn't a reality, none of the others mean anything? Well, turn to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. It's in the life of a woman who, in us, in our minds, we say, boy, really, her? It's in the life of Hagar. In Genesis 16, actually in Genesis chapter 16, and we'll begin reading in verse number 6. We're just going to pick it up verse number 6 because I really want to get down to the name that we're going to look at this morning. But in Genesis 16 and verse 6, Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. So Sarah deals ruthlessly with Hagar. Hagar flees from the presence of Sarah, goes into the wilderness. And the Bible says the angel of the Lord appeared to her. Angel of the Lord began to speak to her and talked with her. And when you come down to, I just want to come down to verse number 13. After the angel of the Lord speaks to her, here's the response of Hagar. Here's the name of which we're going to speak this morning. She called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. Thou God seest me. Do you understand this morning that we can think of the Most High God, we can think of the power of God, we can think of all the different attributes of God, but if God doesn't see my life, what good is it? If God doesn't see me, and my life, and my circumstances, then of what value is the rest of it? But you see, just as much as God's name is almighty, Just as much as God's name is eternal, just as much as God's name is the Most High God, His name also is this: Thou, God, seest me. That's the name that God has for us to understand this morning. Thou, God, seest me. Think about it. In my affliction, my problems, the things that torment me, in my anxiety, in all the things in my life, in all the things in your life, in all your circumstances, in all my circumstances, because you know what? You don't understand my life. You don't have a clue about my life. And I don't have a clue about your life. Right? You say, oh, no, you don't. And no, I don't. But there is one that does. You have no understanding of what went on in your pastor's life before he stepped into this pulpit. You have, now listen, nothing bad. Don't get, you're all, what went on? Nothing. I'm just saying. And I don't have any understanding of what went on in your life before you showed up either. Right? I mean, you're all sitting there smiling. Some of you are. But only you and God know the reality of you and yourself. But thou, God, seest me. She called the name of the Lord that spake to her, thou, God, seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? She says, have I seen? I've seen and heard the one that sees me. Wherefore, the well was called Beer La Ai Roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And I want us to spend some time this morning just really focusing on this name. And the first thing we want to see, and boy, I'm thankful this morning. Without going any further, without even going into any depth here, we should lift up our voices and say, glory to God. Thanks be to God that He sees me. That He sees me. He's not blind. We're blind, but God is not blind. He's the all-seeing God. He sees it all. But the first thing I want you to notice, and this is how amazing that God put this all together, because in verse number 14, she says, thou, God, seest me. And then in verse number 14, wherefore the well was called Beer La Ai Roi. You know what that's Hebrew for? The well of the living one that sees me. Do you know throughout the Bible, God had to continually, he didn't have to, but he did, continually over and over and over again, God teaches, reminds, and encourages of one thing about God that you would think it's one of those things that it's so obvious and yet so many times it doesn't click. And it's simply this, that He is the living God. Folks, God is not dead. You might say, well, Pastor, that's of course God. Well, many times we live as if God is dead. Many times we think and respond as if God is dead. But Hagar is minded, and Hagar named that well, or the well was named, the well of the living one that sees me. And throughout the Bible, God reminds us that He is alive, that He is alive. Let me just show you this morning. Turn to Joshua chapter 3, Joshua chapter 3 this morning. Joshua chapter 3. This is Israel. They're about to they're at the brink of the Jordan River. They're about to pass over into the promised land. Verse number 7, the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And here's what God said to Israel. Here's what God says throughout the Bible. Here's what God says to you and me this morning. Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Jebusites, da, 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 da. But he says, you are going to know that the living God is among you. He didn't just say, you will know that God is among you. I mean, he could have very well just said, hey, you're going to realize, you're going to understand God is in your presence this morning. No, he says, the living God. And throughout the Bible, turn to Jeremiah chapter 10. In Jeremiah, now Jeremiah is comparing God, or contrasting God, if you will, with the false gods. All the false gods, not a one of them are alive. Not a one of them lives and has power. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 10. Jeremiah 10 and verse number 10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and everlasting King. The Lord is the true God. He is the living God. He is the living God. Turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Throughout the gospel, when the disciples or others spoke of their faith in Jesus Christ, look at the words that they would speak. Look at the testimony. Look at their faith. In John chapter 6, and verse number 68, Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Once again, we say it so often, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But Peter went further. Peter emphasized something. He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Son of the living God. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I want to emphasize this morning because God emphasizes it. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Because the Bible brings it down to you and me today. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. The Lord says, when you enter into my house, number one, he says, it's my house. He says, the church, you are the people of the living God, the living God. In fact, if you turn over one chapter to chapter 4, in chapter 4 and verse number 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, we trust in the living God. How often do we say that? How often do we remind ourselves? How often do we encourage one another? How often do we use those words, the living God? We believe God is God. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We say we trust in God. But over and over in the Scriptures, they would emphasize this one truth that we see in Genesis 16, the living God. The living God. We trust in the living God. Now let me show you why that's so important. Turn to the book of Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, we have one man alone on an island. And we know his name is John. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother, and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now let's just stop there and understand the scenario, the circumstances. John is on the island of Patmos, and he says this, your brother and companion in tribulation. He says, I'm there for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. But understand this, John is on the Isle of Patmos. Just about every friend of John is dead. All the other disciples are gone. The apostles are gone. So essentially we could say, if we were going to write this up as a movie, we could call it The Last One Standing. Right? Just stop and look around for a moment. Just think about it for a moment. If you're the last one standing on earth, and you're on an island desolated for the testimony of God, boy, it'd be a pretty lonely place, wouldn't it? Then he hears a voice. He says, I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day. Heard a voice. He turned to see the voice, and it was the Son of Man. It was Jesus Christ. But what I want you to notice is what Jesus Christ said to him. Verse number 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, fear not. And I want you to grasp these words that Jesus Christ said to this man, who if he looked around, Peter's gone. Paul's gone. James is gone. Pretty much everybody in the fellowship is gone. And you know what Jesus Christ was saying? I'm not. I'm not gone. Look at what Jesus said to him. Fear not, I am the first and the last. And look at those next words. And I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. You see, when we face our problems, when we face our circumstances, when we think we are all alone and everybody else is gone, Jesus says, listen, 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 listen. I'm alive. I was dead, but I'm alive, and I'm alive forevermore. And from Genesis 16 to the last person, John, in the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ says, I'm alive. I am the living God. And guess what? Not only was he alive, but he also saw John, didn't he? He spoke to John. He said, John, I'm alive. I'm the living God. I was dead. I'm alive. And I'm alive forevermore. And folks, that's why we sing this song. That's why we sing this song. I have to move my notes along. That's why we sing this song. And it's written right here. So in case you doubt your pastor's word, and he didn't know it, the last chorus we sung, the last chorus God had us sing before I stepped into this pulpit is right here. Porque él vive. I have my notes in Spanish this morning because I'm preaching a brood this evening. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, if God did not live, there'd be no way we could face tomorrow. And all those other names would mean nothing. But because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. My life is worth the living just because he lives. But not only just because he lives, but because it says in Genesis 16 and verse number 14 or verse number 13, because the one that is alive, the God that is alive, the living one, in Genesis 16 and verse 13, thou God seest me. Thou God seest me. Proverbs 15 and verse 3, if you turn there for a moment, Proverbs 15 and verse 3. Proverbs 15 and verse 3, it says this, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The eyes of the Lord. I remember when Alton Beale was here and taught the kids that verse. I'm not gonna do the hand signals. But the eyes of the Lord are in every place. The eyes of the Lord. So just stop and think about it. As you go through the Bible, every story you read in the Bible. I mean, you just stop and from Genesis on through, and all the stories and all the difficulties and all the trials and all the problems, all the circumstances that people went through. Was there one that God did not see? No. When David, or actually not David, when Joseph was hated by his brothers, when he's thrown into that pit, left there by his brothers, guess what? God saw it. God saw Joseph in that pit. When David went up before Goliath, God saw it. When Gideon was hiding from the Midianites, threshing wheat in a cave because they were afraid. They might have hid from the Midianites, but God saw right into that cave where they were hiding. And God appeared, the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, thou mighty man of valor, and said, I'm going to give you the Midianites. When those three men were cast into that fiery furnace, Who was there? The Lord was there. You know why? Because the Lord saw. When Israel was in captivity, you read Exodus 3 and Exodus 4. The Lord said, I saw what they were going through. When Elijah was discouraged and laid down, he laid down and said, it's enough. Requested he might die. Aren't you thankful this morning that God was not blind to that? Aren't you thankful this morning that when you're discouraged or troubled or in fear, anxiety and filled with questions, that God looks down and sees not only the circumstances, but sees the very heart in the midst of those circumstances. When Peter was in prison, Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, God saw. In fact, turn to this. This is a neat one. And it's not in a time of difficulty. It's just in a normal day. John chapter 1. Because you know what? The Lord sees us no matter what the day is like. The Lord doesn't look down and just say, okay, let me run the algorithm and let's see what the problems are for the day and who's got the problems. And, oh yeah, I see that one and I see that problem. No. He sees you when you've got problems. He also sees you when you ain't got no problems or when you don't have any problems. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Just like the woman at the well would say, how do you know me? And look at what Jesus answers and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. He just says, Nathanael, he's come on now. I'm the Lord. Before Philip even came and got you, I saw you under the fig tree. There was another day when Jesus was passing through Jericho, and one little man that couldn't see Jesus because of the crowd climbed up into a sycamore tree. And guess what? That man was small. Zacchaeus was small. He couldn't see Jesus, but Jesus saw him, right? Jesus saw him. We read the book of Esther. The book of Esther. When we read through the book of Esther, we don't see in the word of God the presence of God. Right? We don't see it. God's name is not mentioned in the book of Esther. But guess what? God saw everything that was going on with Esther, Mordecai, and all the rest. Because God sees, folks. In fact, Isaiah chapter 40, and Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 27. This is what God says to Israel. And this is what God would say to you and God would say to me. Why, verse 27, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? And God says to us this morning, why do you get this thought in your mind that your life is somehow not seen by God? We do. And God says, no, your way is not hid. Your way is not hid from me. I am the living God who sees you. And when we talk about God seeing us, we talk about how God sees. Folks, God sees everything at once. He knows, he understands. We can only see what's right in front of us, right? We can't see downstairs. By the way, good morning, Vic. Now, I know Vic's down there, right, Bev? Because I saw him get out of the car. Good morning, Vic. You can see me, but I can't see you. Isn't that the reality of life? And tell the others that are down there with you to pay attention. But isn't that true? All we can see is right here. All we can see is right here. You know what? We can't even see inside our physical bodies. I wish I could. I wish I could see what's going on inside here physically. But I can't. Now, I can see the results of it. But I can't see what's going on inside here. You can't see what's going inside you. You can't. We can't. All we can see is what's right in front of us. In fact, one of the most greatest example is, y'all look at this pulpit. You see how nice it is up here, right? You see the front. You know, actually today it's neat. It's open in the back and there's some shelves in here. And you know, sometimes these shelves in here are just filled with stuff. And you look and you say, oh, it looks so nice. And you come back here and you say, oh, what a mess. But here's the thing. God sees there. He sees here. He sees underneath it. He sees above it. Because he sees it all. He sees it all. He sees the past. He sees today. He sees tomorrow. He sees the future. He sees it all. In fact, he sees every little detail. Every detail of our life. And so, number one, the living God sees me. Number two, God sees me. Just like he sees you. And he sees your life. He sees your life today. He sees your life right now. He sees whatever it is you are going through right now. Understand this. God sees. God understands. God knows. God cares. Because all the other names of God are still right there. Not one of those names gets set to the side. But every one of them comes together. The Most High God, the Almighty God, the Faithful God, the Loving God, the Righteous God, the All-Powerful God, the Eternal God, the Living God sees you. And that brings me to one more point. Number one, God is alive. Praise God, the living God. Number two, the living God sees me. How does that affect my life? I'll tell you how it affects my life. It reminds me I can trust him. It's as simple as that. That I can trust God. That I can trust him. More than I can trust any other person or any other thing. I can trust him and him alone. Let me bring your attention to three passages of Scripture. The testimony of the Apostle Paul. The first one is 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And how important this is, how for every one of us, for young people today. Young people today. For teenagers today. For adults today, for college and career people today, for people that are just, for anybody just facing whatever we're facing, whether it's something you know, something you're dealing with, maybe something you don't even, maybe it's just the uncertainty of everything, whatever. Listen, God's saying this morning, I'm alive. I see you. Trust me. Trust me. But, the only time you want to use the word but is in Daniel chapter 2 when it says, but there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. Anytime I hear that word but now, that immediately, hold on. But there's a God in heaven. Pastor, but, no, but there's a God in heaven. Boy, I tell you what, it's a game changer. But there's a God in heaven. First, or 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. Here's the first thing that Paul knew. The first thing that we want to see of Paul this morning. Paul says this, for the which cause also I suffer the things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. Why? For I know whom I have believed. Paul says, I know where my faith is. I know the person in whom I believed. And am persuaded. Here's Paul's confidence. Paul says, I know who I believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Folks, that sums it all up right there. Paul says, I know who I believed in, and I am persuaded, I am confident, and you ain't shaking me from this, that he is able to keep this right here, this person, this individual, he's able to keep, protect, guard me, preserve me, take care of me until the day I stand in his presence. Doesn't that kind of calm the heart a little bit? Right? That should take the fear of life out. That should take the anxiety and lessen it a little bit. I know we're still all human beings, but listen. The Bible says looking unto Jesus. And Paul says, I know whom I have believed in, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm persuaded. God is able. He's the Almighty God. Nothing too hard for God. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Because you know what? In Galatians chapter 2, Peter speaks of how he lives. Boy, I tell you what, Peter says, I have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh at all. And we ought not to have any confidence in the flesh, because in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. But Paul says this in chapter 2 and verse 20, I'm crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live, yet not I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He says, a life that I now live, the flesh doesn't profit anything. There's no strength. There's no confidence in the flesh. He says, but I live by faith. And he says, I live by the faith of Christ, his faith, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, how did this resonate in Paul's life? Go back to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Because Paul was no different than anybody else. Paul found himself in trials and tribulations and troubles. We all do. Listen, no one's exempt. The sun and the rain, they shine and rain on the just and the unjust, right? Amen? In Acts chapter 27, and I know you probably say, Pastor, you've shared this portion of scripture many times. Yeah, and I will. Because you know what? I go back to this passage of scripture so many times because the Bible says we're encompassed by such a great cloud of witnesses. And the Bible says we should look at their faith, learn from their faith. Verse 20, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. You ever been at that place? You ever been at that place in your life where you sit there and you say, there's no hope? There's no hope? Doctors don't have the answer. No one else has the answer. They've done all the tests. They've run all the things. They've done all the things. And they're just trying to do what they think is best. And you're saying, there's no hope. Well, these men on this ship, were that was their condition. They said, no hope. We're going to die. It's going under. The ship's going over. We're dying. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, first of all, he said, I told you so. I like this part. Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. But then he says this, and not of loose from Crete, and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. And look what he says in verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. What a simple statement, and yet what a powerful statement. Paul says, be of good cheer. Why, Paul? Well, for one simple reason, I believe God. Why should we look at 2021 with hope instead of fear? Simply for this, because I believe God. What has God said? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll always be with you. He says, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, hey, there's two simple verses that say, you know what? I'm looking at 2021, not with fear, but with gladness and expectation. For God says, I'm going to build my church. And he says, I'm going to be with you. Take all the other thoughts and throw them in the nearest garbage can. This is what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, listen, I know what God has said to me. I know, see, we disconnect between what God says and how we live. God has told me it's okay. It's okay. I'm going to be with you. I give you unto eternal life. You'll never perish. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to work in you till the day of Jesus Christ. I'm going to build my church. The gates of hell ain't going to prevail against it. God says, listen, I've got it all under control. Trust me. Trust me. And Paul says, be of good cheer. I believe God. I believe God. Listen, the doctors still don't know what's going on in this lungs of mine. But I'll tell you what. I know I'm not going to die anytime soon. I can say that from the depths of my heart this morning before God, that my life is going to go on. And here's why. Because God has told me that I'm going to learn Spanish. Now you might think that sounds foolish. But not only did God tell me I'm going to learn Spanish, but God gave me a man to teach me Spanish, and God is teaching me Spanish, and I'm learning Spanish. And I don't think it's so that when we get to heaven, we're all going to be speaking Spanish. Or else And tonight at 7 o'clock, I've been asked once again to preach to all the churches in Peru. Just like Paul, God says, you're going to stand before kings. So listen, I simply say, hey, listen, I'm believing God. I'm believing God. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe God. Paul says, I believe God because I believe what he said. That's why we need to take the words of God, the promises of God, and say, you know what? Because the God that gave me his word is the living God who sees me and can put together a song service with a message to show us that he sees us right here in this place this morning. You know, bottom line is this. One of the names of God is, Thou, God, seest me. Now, I don't have all the answers for life. I don't understand all the reasons why everything goes on. I don't have all the answers. I don't know all the answers. I don't know the reasons. I don't know the whys behind everything. I don't need to. And God doesn't need to explain them to me. Because he's God and I'm Doug. Big difference, right? But this one thing I do know. That the God that has all the answers and the God that knows all the reasons, that same God sees me. And therefore, my heart's filled with peace and rest. Because I don't trust in me. I don't trust in you. I trust in him, the living God that sees me. Thou, God, seest me. My Father sees me. My Savior sees me. My God sees me. You know, there's a song that we sing in every time. In fact, we're going to sing it. Can I pick a song? Okay. Thank you for the privilege. All right. There's a song that we sing in, and I'm glad it's back in our hymnal. I think it is. But for years, every time Paul Schwanke would come, first thing he'd say to me, "Did you get the good hymnals back yet?" And I say, why? He says, because my song's not in your hymn book. And the song is this, God is still on the throne. It's in there, right? Whew. God is still on the throne. He never forsaketh his own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, he never will leave us alone. All the other names of God, so precious, so important, but the one that brings them all down to my life today, this moment in 2021, are this. Thou, God, seest me. And there's not one person here in this room
that's exempt. Thou, God, seest me. Let's pray.
Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, I pray it's been a help, a blessing to us. Lord, I know it has. And Lord, I thank you for it this morning. Thank you, O God, that you see our lives. You see our hearts. You see our thoughts. You see our circumstances. You see our past. You see the today. You see the tomorrow. And Lord, you know and understand. Lord, you know the thoughts that you think toward us, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to bring about an expected end. And Lord, your ways are perfect. Your judgments are past finding out. But Lord, we don't need to understand it all. Lord, all we need to know is we can trust in you. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.